It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. The mass shooting in Las Vegas has reignited a long simmering argument over gun control in this country, with many saying politics and lobbying groups are profiting off of loose regulations, where others are complaining that the strict regulations won't do anything to remove illegal automatic weapons from the streets. But in said argument, we continue to talk over each other, trying to talk louder and vilify those who don't believe what we believe. And as more and more politicians and citizens call for action, the Chicago Sun-Times columnist Neil Steinberg is calling for something else, empathy. He wrote about it today in this column. He joins me tonight. Neil Steinberg, welcome back to The Download. How are you, my man?
Good, Justin. Good. Thanks for having me.
So empathy, it plays a role in our society, and it's something that we usually will, you know, will find in the self-help books. But this really, you know, in your way, in what you wrote about today, could be the way to a different
conversation. Well, it's sort of a squishy term. I should explain how I got to it. I was thinking about this shooter in Las Vegas and how cold you had to be towards people to stand, you know, go and shoot these young people at a concert you've never met. And I thought, well, we're actually kind of cold towards other people all the time. We don't shoot them, but we don't really like them. And I happened to be out west by Starved Rock in Utica in Ottawa over the weekend, and you know, that's kind of gun country there. You know, you go into every truck stop, and there's all these bumper stickers, like, laughing at people who, you know, think anything at all about gun control, which we do have. You know, you can't buy bazookas and that kind of thing. So it's
right.
It just seemed to me that before we start fell to squabbling, as we always do, we might kind of look at the people, the non-gun part of it. You've got people to whom this is vastly important, you know, tend to be the Republicans and Trump supporters, and they tend to have this kind of contempt. And as someone who gets it every day with breakfast in my email, it's an amazingly intense hatred. And I thought, you know, before we, you know, those people aren't going to listen anyway. But if we're going to fail as a country, we might want to fail trying to find our common ground. And I was thinking of the automatic aspect of it, because, you know, these semi-automatic weapons with big magazines and stuff, that's what aids to these slaughters. And when you talk to people who are gun advocates, they say, well, we need that automatic, the semi-automatic, you know, these military-like type weapons in case we want to overthrow the government, which is what the Second Amendment's all for. And I thought, well, wait a second. How does that jive with the whole, you know, stand up and put your hand over your heart and say the pledge, or, you know, sing the national anthem and respect your country, except if we're going to overthrow it at any moment? And I thought, man, that's kind of a dichotomy there.
There's like some contradictions there.
And, right. If you pointed that out in a nice way to people, they might actually stop and think, which doesn't happen a whole lot.
Well, it seems, you know, in tragedies, we'll always start with this moment of unity, and we'll talk about no politics, and almost no politics has become political in the way that was seen in this argument. But as the days go on, there's going to be more and more conversation, even today, about what to do from this tragedy. Our not only our leaders, but our entertainers are stepping up to talk about this stuff. But what's missing in the conversation, that's what I loved about your column today, is just understanding that there is a common ground we need to get to, and there needs to be respect of everybody involved before we even get to that conversation.
I mean, I have my FYD card. I've shot guns. I've taken my kids to shoot guns. I've shot guns with my father. You know, it's odd. People on both sides, they don't want that. They want to just be able to stick you in a slot and laugh at you and mock you or whatever. And I think that if we can somehow avoid that, I mean, I noticed that Congress pulled back the silencer bill that they had put out. You know, someone pointed out, well, you know, at least we could hear the shots. And if you couldn't hear the shots, that would make it even harder for law enforcement to do their job. And it's kind of hard to argue that. You know, it's kind of hard to say, well, my freedoms as an American are deeply infringed if I can't buy a silencer,
right,
you know, for cheap. It had to do with a $200 fee that's on these silencers. So, you know, a lot of this stuff, you know, sadly, people are so pliant. You know, the NRA basically has created this dichotomy where any rule is a destruction of your freedom as an American. Even though, you know, you go to some gun store, you go to Maxim Shooter Supply, they're not going to rent you a gun if you're a lone individual, because they find that people show up there and rent a gun and kill themselves. So as a way to try to avoid that, they put in a rule that says you have to have two people there. So if any gun store in America can set its own rules as it likes, how come the country can't do that? How come
And you said it too. I mean, one of the things that I think about more often is just about trying to understand each other. The silencer stuff is a good example, because just right off the bat, you would think, well, that just seems to be a strange thing that you would want to unregulate. But there is something to be said about understanding what that means and understanding what that story is and understanding that there is lobbyists on both sides that are trying to control the narrative and trying to get us to almost rally around whatever causes they have thought up in their think tanks. And at a certain point, we rarely think for ourselves on what we're supposed to, how we're supposed to think about issues of importance when it comes to this country, and especially politics.
I think you're absolutely right. If we started by saying, okay, where's our common ground? Because, the people who are most endangered by guns are gun owners. You buy a gun and the odds jump up that you're going to kill yourself, you're going to kill your family, it's something which is dangerous. You need to know to be trained, you need this and that. And there's certain things that could be done that would make them safer, trigger locks and that kind of thing. Yes, there are people on the left who are nuts and they want to get rid of all guns, and that's not going to work either, at least not in this country, at least not now. So, there's such a supposition of ill will. I think, at first I wasn't going to write anything because I'm kind of a fatalist. I've been doing this for a long time. I thought, nothing's going to happen. We're doomed. We elected this idiot, and our country's just going to slide into ruin. And I thought, well, that's not really a success strategy, is it? And, you don't want to become your opponent. And even if people are treating you unfairly, and even if people are dealing with you with, contempt, it doesn't mean you have to reciprocate and treat them the same way. I mean, I think that's what you saw, like, in the civil rights protest, where you were dealing with people who were violent Klansmen and things, and civil rights protesters were doing it in a nonviolent way because they were trying to be better than that. And I think this is, tragedies like this, and they happen all the time. It's funny when people say now, in the wake of this is not a moment to talk about it, because we have these almost every day, it seems. Maybe not 59 people, but we have mass shootings almost every day in the country where three or more people are being shot. And so I think that, I get all the pro-handgun email, and so they're already calling these people gun control ghouls, and they're trying to raise money for their base by saying, look, they're trying, you're going to end up in a concentration camp with all your guns seized and blah, blah, blah. And so, maybe there's no way to fight that, and we're just going to be this polarized country, and we'll just, California and Texas will secede, and we'll just, the American dream's over because we can't get along. But that, that isn't what our history tells us. Our history tells us we get through this. We weren't always like this. It wasn't, we weren't always this heavily armed camp where people were being shot all the time in public, innocent people at a concert. And at some point, I think we're going to say, okay, is there something we can do to fix it? Maybe this is a public health issue. If this was some disease, everyone would be demanding action. That's the ironic thing. People are so safety conscious that they go nuts with almost any other thing. But we've carved out this little gun niche, and we're allowing ourselves to be murdered, and our children and our loved ones and ourselves. And it's something we could at least mitigate. And that's really why. And the column's in the paper tomorrow.
The column is in the paper tomorrow. It's online today. It's a great column. Yeah. I recommend it. Neil Steinberg, Chicago Sun-Times columnist, who always comes through with great thought pieces to push at us as a society. Neil, thanks so much for taking some time out to talk.
My pleasure, Justin. Thanks for talking with me. Sure. Bye-bye.